Good morning, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Vietnam Innovators. I'm your host, Hao. You might notice that our set is completely different today, and that's because we're in Dubai, in the Middle East. It's our first ever Vietnam Innovators recorded outside of the country. So, wow. Alex, congratulations for making that milestone with us. Alex, welcome to the show. Thank you for making time. And
thank you for having me, Hao. It's great to be here.
Yeah, well, let's start off a little bit. Do you remember the first time we met? Maybe just start with that story.
Yes.
To kick off.
So we met, if I'm not mistaken, about 4 or 5 years ago now, in Ho Chi Minh City.
Yep.
We have a mutual friend. We were at her wedding. And I think just from a casual conversation at the wedding, I think we just still stayed in touch, right?
Yes.
It's funny, at that point, I was working actually more in the food delivery, you know, e-commerce world. You were in media then.
Yes.
And since then, I've joined you in the world of content and media. So it's nice to be able to get those worlds to align again.
Did you ever think that you would work in media? Because coming from 7 years ago when I started working with Vietcetera, I thought media was something I should avoid, actually. I mean, we can talk about that a little bit later, about the idea of like corporate journalism.
Yeah.
You know, and you guys are the antithesis of that.
Yeah, corporate journalists probably don't like us very much.
Yeah, they don't like you guys. They kind of don't like us. I mean, we're media, we're technically a company, not a creator company. Walk us through that journey.
Yeah.
So 2 years ago, you started working in with NAS.
Yeah.
But before that, you were working at Grab, you were working at food delivery companies. How'd that shift come about?
Yeah, so my background, so I'm originally from the UK, and I moved out to Southeast Asia, to Singapore. It's now 7 years ago. And that's when I entered the world of tech. Because I was like, when I thought about all the problems that I could see, I was like, technology can play such a fundamental role in Southeast Asia. As well, you know, and Southeast Asia, whether it's Vietnam, whether it's Thailand, whether it's Indonesia, what's amazing and what got me so excited to play a part in the ecosystem was that, you know, we can, you know, there isn't that old infrastructure there. Like where I'm from in the UK, a lot of the institutions have been around for hundreds of years. And so whenever you want to create a technology element to it, it's like you have to move along the traditional structures. And what really excited me when I got into tech was that whether it was things like ride sharing, whether it was things like food delivery, there was an opportunity to rethink from zero how to build the right solution through technology.
Yep.
That was really exciting, so I jumped into that. But there was one thing that I constantly kept seeing again and again, and I saw this a lot in Vietnam when I worked in food delivery there, which was the world of business and media is converging. So in my world at the time with food delivery, there were millions of restaurants in Vietnam, but actually the ones that performed the best on food delivery weren't the ones necessarily with the best reviews, with the best food. It was the ones that had mastered content and how to use content in different ways to reach the right people who could discover their place, their food, their restaurant in like a sea of a million options. So I think I was already seeing before I entered the world of media that media was becoming a more and more important role in business and that it was becoming more accessible.
Yeah.
When you started Vietcetera, you probably, it was very hard to get into media,
yeah,
I imagine, right? You needed the right equipment. You needed to think about the distribution channels. Where today, you know, every Vietnamese person who has a smartphone can be a media channel.
Right. Yeah, before then too, I mean, the idea of creating 1 minute videos. So me and you, Sarah, are actually the same age.
Right, okay.
So when I was listening to the show, I was like, wow, of the Have a Sip episode that we just recorded, he was mentioning, I started this 7 years ago when I was clueless, didn't know where this would lead. And I was kind of the same way. I didn't know what to expect in the world of media. Of course, now media is everywhere, content's so easy to distribute. But I had a lot of learnings from listening to him and just hearing you share from the outside what you thought of media, how content can really dominate conversation. I mean, I tell people now too, every company today is actually a media company.
Yeah.
Just the same way that you mentioned that restaurants are, you know, if you're king of content, people will come to your restaurant. Companies these days too, if you're not controlling your own media, your own content, somebody else will control you.
Yes.
I think that applies to NAS in a lot of ways too, because I'm a very casual viewer of NAS. I actually don't know too much about NAS Daily. I see some nice videos. I know they're 1 minute, that the narrative is there. But also, you guys will have a lot of haters out there too.
Yeah. This is a really interesting point, actually. And I think you can look at it from like the business side or as a side as a creator. I look at it from the business side, like you do. And I think that when you're in a traditional company who doesn't do media, you get very scared of media. You think about it and you say, what could go wrong if I say the wrong thing? when I came to NAS, you know, the idea was that we had all the skills of how to create content, but we wanted to go bigger on how we can use that to build a business. Mm. And that was where my skills lied.
Okay.
So my initial reaction was, you've got to be really careful with media.
Mm.
And what Nasir and the NAS team's view was, actually, the world is all about grabbing attention, right? It's all about capturing your audience, your customers, or whoever.
Mm.
Even in the situation where you may make a mistake, right? You may say something that you didn't initially want to say, or it was received in a way you didn't expect.
Yep.
The point is that it's still good to have a dialogue, right? And so in our journey of NAS, we've really tried to talk about topics that aren't always easy to talk about.
Mm.
So there can be different responses.
Yep.
Some people can say, you know what? I don't like the view you have. I disagree with your view. There's another strand, which is people can take something out of context. Mm-hmm. They can be like, what you said, I interpret in this way, yeah. And I think that's wrong.
Mm.
I think the goal of any organization or person is to say, I'm okay if you disagree with my opinion, right? But to try and minimize the times where I'm taken out of context.
Mm.
So I think that we are okay as a company and as a brand when people disagree with us, right? Because for every person that disagrees with us, we get a message saying, I'm so happy you said that.
Mm.
Because I've been waiting to hear about that. And for NAS as a brand, a lot of that is around tolerance, actually. It's funny, talking about tolerance can be the most divisive thing,
mm.
which is that we believe at the end of the day that we're all humans. You know, countries can argue with each other, right? But fundamentally in every country, there are just people. They have the same concerns, the same motivations and goals. So actually, just bringing to the forefront people's stories can, you know, cause disagreements.
Coming into NAS, and you have a big role at the company. You're the COO.
Yeah.
You're running the ship that, you know, does the content machine, not just the content, but the products that you guys are building. When the team, they're all media folks, they're all content folks, you come in, you're a business person. How was that meshing of ideals? And when they would mention, you would say like, hey, we got to be really sensitive about the media. And they're like, hey, let's be controversial. Let's make a statement. What was your initial impression?
Yeah.
Were you a bit resistant, where you're like, oh my God, I just walked through something that I didn't expect. What was your initial impression?
So I think my journey with learning how to navigate the world of business and media really came through experiencing events.
Mm.
So I remember in my first 6 months, we had our first controversy that I was a part of.
Mm.
And I was completely taken aback. I have to be honest, you know, I was like, the world is over.
Yeah.
You know, it's really hard to deal with.
Mm.
And I think for those in the NAS team who had experienced this before, they said, you know what? The storm will die down.
Mm.
And we can, you know, learn from it and we can move forward. And I think that's the same for every company, right? Which is that very few situations in media today, because there's so much of it and because there's so much competition for time, even in the biggest storm, what we find is that the dust settles, right? And when there's a disagreement, it doesn't mean people forget. But it does mean that you get a space to have that conversation. So for businesses that listen to the show, I think the main message would be, do not be afraid to put yourself out there. Even in the worst case, where there's a disagreement on what you're saying, the storm will die down. Right? Just as much as when you're really popular and famous, the storm will die down and you'll no longer be popular and famous. The same comes when there are situations which may be more controversial or difficult.
Mm.
And that's how we look at it. And when I learned that, when I went through that experience, I actually bought into it even more.
Mm.
So my role in the company is not to be the risk manager, right? It's more about, let's take an amazing media product like NAS and think about how we can now build this into a technology company.
Mm. Let's talk about that too,
yeah.
Because even coming to the summit, I'm coming from Vietnam here. Yeah. We want to learn about content. We want to learn about how you guys do media. I want to hear about why you guys are doing this, because I just listened to this hours long podcast when Nusera and Thuy Minh, they were mentioning that content is just content.
Mm.
And the summit was actually about that too. I think the acronym was OMG.
Yes.
Own, monetize, and grow.
Own, monetize,
grow. I want to hear how you guys are thinking as essentially a media company. You're now using your media to do other things.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. No, happy to. So when we think about the media, NAS Daily, what's really powerful about the media for us was that we were able to reach millions of people and put certain subjects at the top of mind, inspire people to take certain action.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, when it came down to it, media was only step one, right? So NAS means people in Arabic, And the idea was that the content would help bring people together.
Actually, a lot of people thought it was like after his name.
Yeah, so it's not. It's an Asari. Yeah, yeah, so that's
actually.
So we've broken that down. So actually, if you really want to bring people together, media is only step one.
Okay.
Great, you've inspired people. Now what next? And through our journey with NAS Daily, one of the things we used to do was in-person meetups, right? We used to actually turn up in Ho Chi Minh City, in Mexico City, in London, and we would post on Facebook and say, we're doing a meetup, and people, maybe 50 to 100 people would show up in the park, and we would ask them two questions. Question number one was, what are the stereotypes about your country that people just make up or get wrong? And the second question was, what are the things that no one ever talks about your country that they should? And that was how we crowdsourced the videos. So the concept of building something more than just media was always there. And actually, that whole meetup journey was the basis for NAS Summit, which you just came to, which is now a product. So I think that the journey of going from media to business has all been around, what are the things that we've learned through media that we think we are really stronger or we can add value in the world? Then how can we productize that, not just for our audience, but for the world? And so there's that angle, which is like mission orientated. How do we bring our mission to more people in different ways? The second part is survival, which is that, and this is, I think, what you were mentioning about how media is just becoming, content's becoming content. For those who are on the other side, who are content, not business, the idea is that if I only earn money from social media platforms, as they change their business model, as they change their algorithms, it's really hard to build a sustainable business.
Right.
Hiring teams, you know, you need to know how much revenue you're making in some form. When they do completely change the platform, what do you do as a creator? Your distribution is lost. So more and more creators going down the own, monetize, grow. That is all about creators want to own their audience, right? They want to find ways in which they can provide products to them. And they want to grow that beyond so that it becomes a more sustainable business.
You said sustainable a few times in just 1 minute. I want to ask you, what does sustainable mean to you?
Great question. I think that for a creator, sustainable means I am not a one-hit wonder, right? I'm not just one viral video. That's the biggest, if you think of the mindset of a creator, that's the thing they're most scared about. And the reason why that is that if you have a one, if you have one viral video, you have not built a formula for success.
I want to talk about it. So creator is one thing,
and
you guys are a community of creators. Your customers are creators now as well through your NAS IO product, I
That's
believe.
That's right.
How about for NAS company?
Yes.
What does sustainable mean for you guys? Because I asked this in the context of a media company ourselves. I've classified two types of business units of the company. We have what we call our core media, which is probably very similar to what you guys do today. It's probably the majority of your revenue, if not almost the entire thing, right? And then we ourselves are incubating new products that aim to productize our audience. So instead of offering them ads and making money off that, we're thinking of ways to offer them value that they can purchase, they can be a part of, they can form a community part of. What does that mean to you in terms of the NAS company? So not just for a creator that one.
So for the NAS company, NAS Daily is our billboard, is the simplest way to look at it. It is the way that we find new people. Then we say, okay, the business part is then how we earn. We actually don't, given the number of views, NAS Daily has hundreds of millions of views every month. The revenue we get in relation to those views is actually very small. It's not enough to actually run a sustainable business. We think the way that sustainability for NAS company long-term means a mass distribution channel with a product that is being used by those customers in different forms. It could be every day because you help run your community on NAS.io. It could be once a year because I go to NAS Summit. It could be a brand who wants to understand social media better and learns with NAS Academy. So different users will have different touch points. But I think just like a traditional company, we think about a user's lifetime value. So I will tell you that in NAS Daily, we are not looking to sell. We are just looking to reach. And I think brands should look at media in this way. When I have my content, whether I'm a content from my CEO, whether it's from my CMO, it's just about, can I get in front of the right people? What we do in NAS Daily, we found that our content has got in front of everyday people, but it's also got in front of presidents and prime ministers. And so the question then is, when I have their attention, what can I do with it? So if I get in the attention of a CEO, maybe I can do a brand collaboration. When they get the attention of a creator with a million followers, maybe they can use our software, right? So that's the dynamic between our content and our business. So, you know, instead of, we don't need to do outbound, like cold sales emails, for example, we use content instead.
Yeah, yeah. What's that evolution of that business model though? Like for us, we make 80, 90% of our revenue off what we call our core business.
Yeah.
So that's advertising on our content. What does that look like for you guys at NAS Company? Like,
yeah.
We're talking a lot about this shift, a lot about the community, not about the content even anymore. How far along are you in that shift?
Yeah, so we have two separate businesses. So we have NAS Daily as a social media channel, and any brand partnership that happens with NAS Daily is in one company.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
And then the second company is called NAS, we call it NAS Company, but it's NAS.io.
Okay.
It's our software.
Yeah.
And then we also have NAS Academy, which is our education product. So if I take the NAS Company, which is what I'm responsible for, I would say that our revenue is split into three. So about 50% of our revenue actually comes from businesses. Businesses who want to learn about creating content, or businesses who want to build communities.
So I run a big company. I've got 100 marketing folks, and I'm thinking, none of them know content.
Correct.
I follow NAS Daily. I'm going to enroll them into NAS Academy.
Yeah, and we do things like we customize courses for them, programs for them. So imagine you want to train your regional marketing team on how to create organic content. You're tired of paying. You can work with NAS Academy, and we'll train you. So that's a big part of our revenue. The second part of our revenue is direct to consumer. So this is to say, I want to learn content creation, and I am a doctor, a lawyer, an entrepreneur, or even someone who wants to go full-time as a freelancer or an influencer. Those people would come to us and join a program with others and pay you know, a few hundred or a few thousand dollars to be able to do that. So those are like the core parts of our revenue. I would say that in total is about sort of 80%. And then 20% is coming through activities related to community building. So that's NAS.io, which is when creators start actually starting their own communities through NAS and using our software to collect payments and others. That is actually still a small part of our business. It's less than 6 months old.
Okay.
But we think, you know, our long-term strategy is that the software can scale in a proportion that's not the same with the number of people you have. When I want to work with more brands on NAS Academy, I need more people to build programs. I need more teachers. It's more of a services business, and it doesn't scale as easily.
Yes.
Whilst with software, once you build the software, whether you have 1,000 people using it, 100,000 people using it, you just need to scale the systems of the software, but the actual software remains the same.
So it sounds like you guys want NAS.io to be the biggest business of them all, even biggest than, you know, what you have currently with NAS Daily.
So in 2 years' time, I would like to see that NAS.io is our core like revenue driver.
Wow. Okay.
That's our goal. Now, in terms of people, will it be as big as NAS Daily? I don't think so. NAS Daily has 65 million followers. Well, we have 65 million users on NAS.io. It's not the same goal, because if you think about it with content and business, is that if I'm a follower of NAS Daily, I may watch a 1 minute video once a month. You gave the example, you said I'm a casual viewer. With NAS.io, our customer is the community manager, the creator. They are like the small business. So they are interacting with our product sometimes on a weekly basis or even a daily basis to help them run their business. So it's less casual. So if I had 100,000 or a million businesses using my product every week, that is a big success for NAS.io.
Let's talk about the creator industry.
Yeah.
A lot of folks listening here today, and I ask these questions because I know a lot of the people listening are very interested about understanding creators more. It's become a bit of a, almost a negative thing to say a creator in Vietnam, or people are, people that are professional creators, they, in Vietnam, they'll be kind of shy to say or admit that they're a creator. You know, that's all they do all day. And on the business side, it's become quite transactional too. I think it's very early stages in a place like Vietnam and across the world, I imagine, which is where you guys serve. You don't only serve the US.
Yeah.
I don't think there's not very many Americans even working at your company, let alone them being your customers. Because the creator economy has become, it's quite basic still.
Yeah.
And what you guys are trying to do is like thinking 5 years ahead. How do you aim to get creators on a platform that is thinking so far ahead? Like the OMG analogy you guys said at the summit, own, monetize, and grow. Creators are not thinking about that. Creators are thinking, I want brand deals. I want to make branded content. I want to make ads on YouTube. And you guys are going up there and being like, we make $33,000 a month and we have 600 million views, guys. Like, go this direction instead. How's that communication going for you guys in terms of where you want to be?
So I think that it's interesting because we are thinking a few steps ahead of where every creator is today. However, you were at the summit and you even said this before we went on camera. You said, I'm having a tough time with Facebook right now. They've changed something. The views are different than they were before. What we're noticing is that creators around the world are seeing changes in social media platforms that is making them a little bit nervous. And it's even in the US. In the US, everyone's worried about TikTok maybe getting banned. Right? In other parts of the world, they're saying, well, my main platform might have been Facebook, but now maybe it needs to be Instagram or TikTok or YouTube Shorts. Right? There's discussions happening. And when that happens, I think creators are going to start looking at what should they be doing alongside social media. So what's really important is everything that we're building is not a replacement for social media. We believe social media is here to stay. But social media is a lot less social and it's more like traditional media. When I have an Instagram account and I'm doing reels, what I'm really doing is broadcasting a TV channel to the world. I'm not having an interaction or a conversation with my audience. And that's because the way people discover content today is very different than they did 5 years ago. I mean, when you open Facebook, how many times do you go into Facebook groups? Maybe less than you did 3 years ago. Right? And that's a common trend we see around the world. And so that's where we see, yes, we are maybe a few steps ahead of where every creator is today, but their creators are very open to the conversation. So we see this shift already happening and they want to understand what are my options. And the own is the most important part, which is that when you're on social media, you are renting a piece of real estate, which is to say, I have a page, I have my channel, and I'm relying on you to make sure that with my content, I reach people. I do not own the audience. I do not have their email. I don't have their phone number. If something changes, I can't reach them anymore. So a creator cares about the own because if they have those emails, those phone numbers, then even if the platform changes, they can still reach them. And it's just like
if I was a brand selling this mug, I want to know who my customers are so I can sell them another mug next year.
Right.
But right now, if I'm using Facebook ads, it's like a one-hit wonder kind of thing, right?
And you remember what happened when iOS, when Apple changed the privacy rules. Some of your viewers may remember this. We were like, what is going on? I can't reach people anymore. My ROAS has dropped. What do I do? That's the problem with ownership. Now, all these channels can still be useful. And I think what we're seeing even with email today is that open rates are not as high as they used to be. Right. So as a marketer, if you're watching the show, you'll be thinking, okay, what do I do next? So what we want to have the conversation with, and you think every brand, every content creator should be thinking about is, okay, let me think more about ownership. Let me think about the way I reach people and let me experiment.
How does a creator make money though if you're saying own your audience for these creators? Those are your customers at the end of the day. But most of their money is off brand deals and AdSense and whatever. How are they going to be generating revenue in the next 5 years in this future creator economy, in your hypothesis?
So let's take Vietcetera as an example. You do a lot of work with brands, which is great. But actually, your network is more than just your followers. It's the fact that you know business leaders, the fact that you know TV presenters. Now, if you go to a brand and say, do you want to access 100 of the most interesting marketers in Vietnam? That is not a million people, but it's the right people for your brand.
Right.
That is a community in a way. So what we think is gonna happen in the next 2 years is that brands are gonna take their influencer marketing budget and they're gonna divide it in half. Some of it will still do traditional influencer marketing and the rest of it will go into community marketing. Get me the right people that I can go deeper with through a community. Can I spend 1 hour with them through an event? Can I spend 4 times a week with them through an online session? That's what creators and brands can do. They can create that space to offer it. So I don't think that creators in Vietnam or brands in Vietnam are gonna stop working with each other. Our bet is that they're gonna have a new way to work with each other.
This is like a new chapter to how creators can monetize, be sustainable.
Correct.
You mentioned. Okay, interesting.
And then in the rest of the world, we are seeing memberships. So we're seeing that individuals will pay a few dollars a month to get access and benefits from their creator. Now, in Vietnam, I know that it is not as common to pay for a membership from a creator as it is, let's say, in the US.
Not just in Vietnam, I think all over the world.
All over the world.
The US is an anomaly, in Europe to some extent.
The US is the leader, I agree. US is the leader. In Europe, it happens a little bit. In Asia or Southeast Asia, less common. However, there's a difference between what you're charging and what you're offering. Mm. So will a Vietnamese consumer pay $5 a month to access an online video? Maybe not. Mm-hmm. If a Vietnamese travel creator offers an amazing travel experience in, you know, a part of Vietnam that maybe people haven't been before, with a tremendous access, you get to travel with them, you get to do these great events, maybe they would pay for that.
Will all these products that NAS company is building, will it soon apply to itself? As in the 63 million followers that you have online, will they be now communities on NAS.io? Is that going to happen?
I think in the next 6 to 12 months, you will see that NAS Daily will have a private space. Mm. And it may be many different things. It could be a way to access the NAS Summit. Mm-hmm. It could be an offline space. Mm. It could be educational events. But there is an appetite within the community of NAS Daily to have more deeper interactions.
I ask you that because this is my first offline experience with NAS anything. And I would say the summit was incredible.
Well, thank you.
Having that forum, maybe online, partially offline, there is value to that, at least for me as someone that's in the media/creator business. Just through the NAS summit, 2 days, of course, I was a speaker, so that helped a little bit. I got to meet a handful of creators in the next 30 days that are actually already planning to go to Vietnam.
Fantastic.
And it was through being in that speaker lounge that did cost me a pretty penny to get here, right? Nusair was on the stage saying, for the speakers at least, saying, we paid none of you guys to be here. You guys paid to be here.
Yeah.
And I think that's a strong statement because, you know, a flight to Dubai from Vietnam, it's like $1,000 US and, you know, a hotel, whatever. I think all in, it's like a couple grand.
Yeah, it's not
And
cheap.
Will I say that I got value out of it? Definitely. Let's see how the next 30 days goes. I think I've already gotten set up my personal goals for being part of this community. And it'll be interesting to see how that plays out for you guys.
Yeah, I mean, one takeaway for those interested in working with creators in the business context, what's really different than building, let's say, an e-commerce product or a physical product is that digital products can be tested and iterated very quickly. So if we wanted to try an online version of NAS Summit, we could try and put it together and we launch it. If it doesn't work, we go back to the drawing board and try again.
Right.
One thing that I've learned and I've loved working in NAS company, well, many things, but one of the things I've loved the most is a culture of just quick experimentation. You try, doesn't work, you try something else. Mm. And I think that the creators that do that, it's hard to know, you know, from the outset what your audience will respond to. Even if you survey them, even if you test. So quick testing is the best way to do that. At NAS, we've tried things that have failed. We always fail. We fail many times. We fail regularly. And we've created a culture where we say, actually, that's okay. Because if you don't iterate and constantly look ahead, you won't actually learn. And as the world shifts and changes, you get risk of falling behind.
Right, right.
So I think that what I love about Vietnam is there is this, this hunger to innovate. I think in the creator space, what creators need are partners like you, business people, to help them take their creative ideas and put them into product. I think if we get more people from the business community to start doing that, not just in a manager-creator relationship or an agent-creator, but actually as a business partner, a COO, a CMO, I think really exciting things can happen. So I will take a bet that this will happen in the next 4 to 5 years. Hopefully we'll be in Vietnam for NAS Summit next year.
Yeah, definitely.
And we'll make it happen. And then I think we can actually hope to meet some of those people and, through these kind of experiences, inspire people to learn from different markets and put it in practice.
Well, guys, this is a fascinating case study rolling out right now. Let's see how NAS company does over the next few years.
Absolutely.
As it brings its online presence, its 65 million followers, offline, online through these private communities. Best of luck to the NAS team.
It's been a
pleasure being here for NAS Summit. And
thank you for coming.
For all the creators and business folks that are thinking about content, thinking about media creators, NAS Summit is where to go, let alone NAS Daily. Thanks so much for your time, Alex.
No, thank you for your time.
Yes, it's a pleasure to be here and we'll see you next year.
See you next year.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Take care, guys.
You can also check out the video version of this podcast on our other platforms such as YouTube and Facebook. New episodes are out every week, so don't forget to subscribe to Vietcetera's Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube channel for more interesting content.